Welcome to episode 77 of the Analog Assault Podcast. This week, it's all about Destiny and a little bit of Mixer talk and a little bit of Blizzard. So let's go.
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. We got the bros back together again. We're here to podcast. Guys, it's been
finally
years.
Been too long.
It's been too long.
It's been a year.
It's been a while, man.
Longer for me because the past few podcasts I couldn't make for whatever reason or the group reason. And like,
yeah,
I know our topic tonight, I don't have a lot to contribute to, but I had to be here.
Yes.
You had to be. I know, dude. I miss well, you, Prime.
You can be the one face. That asks all the questions.
I miss you too, bro.
What I see a little bit more gray in the beard here.
Ex-wife. It's my son, my daughter, and that's my ex-wife.
Yeah. I hear you, man.
Thank you.
Oh, dude, it's see the gray in mine is all like kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Dog and I are a little too young, but I mean, you can't see it, but I'm definitely getting the sides. None of the beard. I'm just getting
right
behind
the Reed Richards
the headphones.
Going on here, barely.
I'm getting the Mr. Fantastic look going on, just a little bit.
Yeah. I have one that grows here and one that grows up here, and it's evident. And so I pull it out.
Because you've got some pretty dark hair, too.
I'm sure it stands out when it's there.
You guys are getting old.
I mean, old.
It's the old Analog Assault Podcast. That's what we're going to start doing in the future.
So what you guys play this week?
Oh, fellow.
I stared at the TV for 3 hours before I realized it wasn't turned on.
So Crow, what have I been playing? I think there's only been one thing I've been playing, man.
Oh,
and that's Destiny 2.
Destiny 2. A Shadowkeep.
The mule's back.
I told everybody, I was like, he'll be back. He'll be back. Just wait.
I said it too. Mm-hmm. I called it from the beginning. I said, he'll be back.
I mean, I knew when he dropped that uninstall video, that was not the end at all. I'm like, dude, no. Yeah, you're
this
being
is
funny,
the
but
full
it ain't true.
Story as I like Destiny, I have a love-hate relationship with Destiny, right?
Yeah, you do.
And so I got just really ticked off with the way it is in Crucible. And so I was like, dog, I'm not playing it again. I'm not playing it again. Look, here's a video of me uninstalling it. And then Shadowkeep comes out with their Vidog or whatever you call it. And I'm like, I think I'm going to buy this.
And I'm not going to tell anyone until they see me play it.
Yeah. Yeah, so pretty much just Destiny, dude. I've been trying to get in some Apex, but I still feel the pull to Destiny. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's good. I'm really enjoying this
DLC
so far.
That's what I hear.
But we'll talk about that later.
What about you guys? What you been playing?
Well, as I mentioned, I don't have much to contribute to the main topic. So I've not been playing Destiny. But I've been still so hooked on Borderlands. My main character is almost through True Vault Hunter mode, and I've been grinding some too to get some of those Legos. Nice. Man, the game is just too stinking fun.
And you've been doing that whole playthrough solo, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a little rough. Like, at least when I was doing True Vault Hunter, I think we at least had three people running through it.
Yeah.
If not,
I don't mind
team.
It at all because I'm like, I explore and loot everything. Of course, the second run through True Vault Hunter mode, your gear is so awesome. You can just basically blaze through a lot of stuff anyway.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, that makes sense, Prime, because when you play, like the one time we did play together, you're like, wait, I'm looking at my loot. I'm like, we've been waiting for 10 minutes.
Same thing with you, Division. All three of us are like checking our gear, like Mulehorn's over there getting, you know,
I'm dead.
Murked by someone. Like, Mule's in here again. But yeah, you know, hey, at least you gave it a shot, man. You gave it a true shot.
I did.
And you have a few awesome gifts waiting for you in your email box in the game you probably never see. That's okay. I'm still friends.
I mean, I liked it, but it wasn't enough to make it to where I wanted to log in every day to play it. So it'll be on the backlog for sure.
Yeah, I knew it was never your type of game in general. I mean, just all the aspects of it didn't really tickle your jimmies, as you like to say.
Yeah.
But I was very proud the day you logged in to play. I was like, my man.
I told you I'd give it a go, bro. Yeah. I give it a go. Yeah.
For sure.
He didn't get navigated.
Navigated,
bitches.
Dude, so it's weird. It's like the older I get, typically you would think the older you get, the more you'd want to do like solo play. But the older I get, the more I want to do social play. And so even like if I'm playing a game, I want to play with people. I don't know why. It's just like, it's just more fun because you can talk while you're doing it. You have funny things you can share, you know. I don't know.
You know what caused all that? Destiny.
Yeah. I know. I mean, we owe in part this podcast to Destiny. That's true. So. Mm-hmm.
I will add, though, I did play some Wreckfest with the Cruise Knight last night. Oh my God! Speaking of social funds and laughs, that game is pure fuel for that. It is amazingly fun. I know you were in chat watching Mule, and God, it's ridiculous fun.
I mean, you had to call me out on my Crocs and socks. I mean,
you had a supporter until you mentioned socks. You're like, oh no! I don't do socks and Crocs. Come on,
but dude, it's like if they're rubber and it gets cold, you need to put on some socks
or real shoes. Yeah. You know.
It's not like I wear them out in public, you know? It's like I just wear them around the house.
How do we know that? How do we know you don't wear them out in public? You're just saying that.
Wow. Okay, so this is... Okay, my wife hates them.
How often do you drop your kids off to school in your Crocs?
I don't. I wear my flip-flops or my shoes without socks.
Do you wear socks with flip-flops?
Those shoes smell great.
Socks with flip-flops? No. No. Okay. That's just... I mean, it'd be kind of cool. You'd look like a ninja, but...
No, it's not. It's not cool. It's not cool, Mule.
Maybe on the farm, but boy, you ain't on the farm no more.
Dude, if I walk outside to go, like pull the trash can to the curb or whatever for trash day, my wife's like, take those off.
Good.
Why do you see them in public?
At least she knows.
Yeah. So it's like, it's basically house shoes, because I have old man feet from all the days of sports, you know? And, like, we have hardwood floors everywhere except for, like, our bedrooms. We have carpet. So, it's like, I can't do it, man. I'm, like, old man feet. So.
I have a question. Have you ever worn your Crocs so much and outside you got dot sunburns?
No. Okay. I've never done that.
That's a whole nother level of what the f- is going on. Yeah. Okay.
But, I mean, I do have them pretty worn out. Look at that. I mean, I'm just saying. They're pretty. I'm wearing them now. Everyone cringed.
How could you ask that question when you know he's going to wear socks with it? So he can't. I'm not wearing socks.
I'm not wearing socks.
Make it stop.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Dog, go, dog.
So dog, yeah. What have you been playing this week?
I mean, Destiny. I guess I could say something I'm excited for that's coming out on Game Pass is Outer Worlds. I am super excited about that game. I want to play it. It'll kind of be my, Borderlands is definitely on the backlog. I want to play more of that too. But when Outer Worlds comes out, I want to play that game. I want to see what it's all about because I loved Fallout, and it's the same dudes that made Fallout Vegas, I do believe.
Which is a good one.
And I thought that was really well done. So I think this one's going to be really good too. So yeah, Destiny for me this week, but when this other one rolls out, I'm ready to play some Outer Worlds.
Yeah, and it's on Game Pass. Hello.
Yeah. Makes it I didn't know that until today. I was like, oh, okay, now I'm actually slightly interested. I'll at least download it.
Yeah. At least give it a shot.
Now, will Mule even download it? Oh, you will, actually. Without you even doing anything, you'll have it on availability.
Yeah. I was talking to Lupo about this, man, and I was watching it, and I... Don't know, man. I'm just not sold on it. I was never a Fallout guy.
It's a slow game for you. And you don't do slow games.
They're slow. For sure.
If it's slower than No Man's Sky, that's a big nope.
Lots of choices.
It's a different...
No Man's Sky is a different kind of slow.
Yeah. No Man's Sky, like, it's just you're always slow. This is the way I feel. The Fallouts... And probably this Outer World they definitely have slower moments, but they definitely have their more, like, intense fights and stuff. So there's that at least. But, so when that comes out next week,
26th?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So it would be not the next week, but the week after next.
2 weeks. I'll be in good old West Texas marrying my, officiating my sister's marriage.
Oh, wait, you said marrying?
That's why I finished it. You're marrying her or you're officiating her wedding to her fiance.
So you're
I'm not from Arkansas, boy.
Well, just say that we're not that south.
Yeah, not that south. I'll not be out of town when it releases, so I'll be looking forward to playing that when I get back.
I did not know that about you, Thaddeus, that you could officiate weddings.
Well, you know, you can be an ordained minister very easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty easy. Is it just a website click?
Yep. And pretty I think I'm going to go back and add the title of wizard to my certificate.
Thaddeus Wizard Prime.
Yeah, you can do it.
I'm now worried for us all.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
None shall pass. Okay, just kidding. You can get married.
I used that in my class today. Sorry. I'll let it go. But that's, I used that in my class today. You shall not pass.
You shall not pass.
Good times. Good times.
So D2, what else, Underdog?
That's pretty much it, man. Other than that, in football, life is the game of choice right now.
You playing the foosball
toward the devil.
You know, it's funny. I don't even play, but I'm screaming my head off at these young kids trying to figure a way to catch football, run a football, throw a football, tackle somebody with the football. Don't tackle our own teammates.
Wow.
You do have the coach rasp right now. You got it going.
Oh, yeah. I got the deep voice going right now on that. So I'm interested to see how this turns out. Yeah, it's been fun. Been a lot of fun.
What about you, Mr. Scarecrow?
Oh, I mean, I think I've kind of narrowed it down. I've been playing fewer games. It's not like me at all. But, been hardcore on that Destiny grind. I'm loving it. Can't get enough of it, but I have had to jump into some other things. I did try out one of the new frames in Warframe, and you might like it because he's basically an Octane. Like he's fast.
I can't get into Warframe.
I know it's not your game, but yeah. Every time I like touch him, I'm like, this is Mule. This is like this character is Mule. It's got to go fast.
Faster, faster, faster.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Played a little bit of ESO, just jumping in. They've been doing some new things once in a while. And today, I actually picked up Code Vein and played that for a little bit.
Really? What is this? What's Code Vein?
So Code Vein is Bandai Namco game, and it's basically anime Dark Souls. So it's all the Dark Souls mechanics in like Bandai Namco's kind of classic or more classic anime art style. So
I've seen some trailers. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
You said the magic word anime. I'm out.
What if the anime characters wore Crocs and socks?
Maybe.
But anyway, I mean, I've only got maybe 2 hours in the game, and I think an hour and a half of that was in the character customization.
Dang,
that's true.
Holy
you were in that for a long time.
I was. It's fun. So far, rough. I've never actually played an official Dark Souls games. I've played a couple other that are like Dark Souls like, but I think this is the one that has the most mechanics that are directly seem like they're almost pulled from Dark Souls. So, so far, I'm liking it. We'll have to see how it goes, but probably not going to get a whole lot of time into it since just so much Destiny.
Yeah, it's really got us by the mule bags. So
I will say, I've been watching some videos. I started off with the ones you put out of the gameplays, and I finished up with some other guys on YouTube. I was pretty impressed. I like what I saw. The story looked really good. I never denied the story and the videos are great, the cinematics. After watching enough of it, though, I was like, maybe I should maybe log into it.
We'll talk about that.
I hear you what you guys been telling me, what my coworker at work's been telling me, it's really easy to jump in right now and just get leveled up pretty quickly, and it's not the grind, which turned me off before Forsaken. So, if I can finish True Vault Hunter mode in time, It might be Titan time.
We're going to chit-chat about that tonight, so we'll get into more deets. But before we get into some of this stuff, guys, I just want to do a little housekeeping. If you want to leave us a voicemail for the podcast or have any thoughts or feedback you want to hear on the cast, you can call us and leave us a voicemail at 512-571-3907. Blow it up. Also, if you like the content you see here and you want to help support us, head over to patreon.com/mulehorngame and get all the deets. Mega shout out to our gold level supporter, Hashing Slasher. So guys, we typically don't get political. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, before we get into D2, we got to talk about this because it really irritates me. But the whole thing with Blizzard, yeah. I mean.
So you want to go kind of just give us the lowdown for anyone who doesn't know on what happened.
There's a guy that won, I can't remember how much money it was, but he won a pretty good sum of money. And on one of the live streams, he talked about how he supports Hong Kong and how he wants liberation for Hong Kong, mm-hmm. right? I get it. Probably not something they want to hear on live stream, but hey, you know, it wasn't anything horrendous, right? Like, wherever you stand politically, Hong Kong's fighting for their own freedom from China, which is known as a very oppressive government. Mm-hmm. So they end up taking away all his winnings and ban him from future contests. And to me, that's super heavy-handed.
Like,
very heavy-handed. And I don't know. It just really rubbed me the wrong way. And so you're seeing, like, this huge, like, everyone's boycotting Blizzard. Everyone's like, nope, not going to buy it. You know, even people as far as saying, you know, Activision is along with Blizzard, so we're not going to buy the new COD. But I want to get you guys' thoughts on this whole scenario.
So I'm going to have a very hot take on this. I think Blizzard was almost partially in the right in doing this. They clearly state in their rules that they don't want political stuff basically coming up in their events. And he clearly came out and was supporting a specific side. I understand it is more the, like, morally right side, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people agree with what's going on, but the fact that he came out during an interview and clearly stated something like this when it clearly says in their rules that they're not supposed to. Were they a little heavy with the hammer? Yes. But I do not disagree with them taking some kind of action.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I agree with Powell in the chat there. They definitely came in hard with that hammer and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, I have not seen the interview. I've only read a couple articles about what happened, but it seemed like he had an agenda that he was gonna talk about it no matter what.
He had like the mask and yeah, the and the whole look
and the look,
yeah,
everything. So I can understand that far. Now, as far as they went, it's a little heavy, but. Other than that, we kind of seen some other things that I don't agree that happened, like what happened with Dr. Disrespect. Like, he basically got a slap on the wrist, and then someone else turns around and basically just puts out an opinion. Granted, it's against their rules on what they do, but still, it's an opinion versus actually doing something.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, the rule that they're using is basically a blanket statement rule that they can use for whatever reason that they need to enforce whatever they want to enforce. It's basically saying, don't make the brand look bad, is basically what the rule says.
Yeah, it's basically don't put forward your own political agenda.
Right.
They don't want to alienate anyone.
But here's the thing that kind of gets my goat a little bit. As we know that China actually owns a pretty large share in Blizzard, 14%. And see, Pal's bringing up in chat, and fixing to go there.
Yeah.
I think, in my personal opinion, and we're seeing this also cross over into the NBA.
Yep,
East Rockets, where owners are kowtowing down to investors who have money from China. And the same thing is happening now, I feel like, with Blizzard, is that they went way overboard on it because China doesn't want to be offended. They don't want to lose face. Like that's a big deal. When I went over there in 2002, I've actually been to China. The people are fantastic. The government, not so much. And one of the big things about the culture there is losing face. You don't want to lose face, or you don't want to be disrespectful, that type of thing. And I don't know, man. It just, I got my tinfoil hat on, and it just smells like governmental corruption to me. I'm going to sound like some crazy lunatic now, but it's interesting, dude, because they're backed by China, by it's like Paoxian and Chat. I think it's actually less than 15%. But
according to the article, it was 14. So
14, close enough. Yeah, 14.5.
But like, how can you punish someone so bad that you take away something they've already earned and any future potential income? I know there was one shoutcaster, I can't remember his name, that said that he's just not going to do any more of Blizzard's shows. He's done until they rectify that.
He was scheduled to shoutcast the finals or something that was going to be at BlizzCon. And
yeah,
he understood, like, his statement was basically what I say. He understood why and what they did, but yeah, he did not agree with the severity.
Right.
Yep.
At all. And he was not going to participate in anything until things changed. If stuff changed, yeah, he made the comment that he made it sound like if things changed in the right direction, he would be willing to work with them again. Go back and work with them. And he's saying, don't blame Blizzard. Like, don't blame the employees. Don't blame the games and stuff. Right. It's a larger whole. These individual employees aren't the ones making the decisions. Even employees at Blizzard themselves are against what happened. And yeah, in one of the articles, they talked about how they've done some stuff at the Blizzard campus to kind of quote unquote protest their
oh, really?
Disliking what treatment is going on, what happened.
Yeah.
So there's all that.
Yeah.
But
go ahead.
But here's the thing, though. Like, the fact that this is going on, and there's kind of been a response on a lot of things, and this is coming from Blizzard, or at least some people from Blizzard, not Blizzard themselves, just some workers and things like that. The quotes, think globally, that the idea of everyone has a voice, every voice matters, that types of thing. Whenever we think about that from on this side of the world, we think free speech, right? We think everyone has a right to say what they want to say, and, you know, let it be what it is. We kind of live in a culture now that is a culture of opinions and a culture of strong opinions, and sometimes a culture of not welcomed opinions. So whenever something like this happens on a global scale that is not only impacting a city in itself, but also a government, whenever you have something that has money riding on the line, you have culture involved within that, you're going to see something that is going to be extremely harsh and extremely quick and swift on the punishment. That even though we sit here, we can say all we want that it's overkill, but they're kind of going back to what Mule was saying. They're trying to save face, and they're trying to stay out of that. Those two things. If something goes wrong with culture, and they get on the wrong side of culture and public opinion, things are now going to go way downhill fast.
Yeah.
For Blizzard. So I get what they did. I don't like what they did either, because I think that everyone should be able to at least voice their opinion without some form of cultural backlash, at least to some degree. That there's some things that should not be ever said ever. In the court of public opinions, but.
Right.
But, it's just, it's...
Well, I mean, the government there is also very heavy-handed. Now, yes, I know this personally, because when I was there in 2002, one of the kind of the scary things we happened is we had to go in-country. We flew into Hong Kong, and then we kind of went in-country to this place where there's a university. And we were in this hotel, And literally a group of us, about four or five guys, walked out to go get some street vendor food, because in some of these smaller cities, they just have breakfast where you can buy street vendor food, right?
Yeah.
Like typical what you'll see in other countries and things like that. So we were out there, and two policemen, I guess you could say they were, came up and detained us. And immediately, like, started questioning us in Chinese, and we were like, we have no idea what he's saying. And we were probably held for a good 30, 45 minutes with them being very aggressive toward us, even taking our passports and holding them. And I was like, holy crap, am I going to get that back? Am I going to get back home? Until our translator showed up and said, no, they're here to work with this university. They're university students. They chilled out, because then they realized, oh, okay, like, teaching university is important. They chilled out. But that's just to say, from my tiny, tiny, tiny little experience, it doesn't surprise me that this happened. Even with a 14% share in Blizzard, I can see that overreach because they are pretty heavy-handed. They probably put in a lot of pressure because China does have a lot of money. So it's just sad, man.
Yeah, 100% the money was a driving factor here for, like, supporters and things like that.
Yeah.
And even it even says in the in the actual quote of their ruling that they take these, you know, these violations very, very seriously. And I mean, there you go. If you've got money in the back pocket and you've got a violation, something big's gonna have to make sure everyone else is on notice. Hey, don't do this. Don't do this. Because we don't want to lose money. We don't want to lose whatever. Can I say this? I mean, it's kind of like, I'm kind of glad Bungie kind of went away from Blizzard. I know this has really nothing to do with Blizzard as a whole, but
no, it kind of does at the same time.
Yeah,
I mean,
good news.
They're no longer associated with them.
Yeah,
no more Activision, no more Blizzard for Bungie. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's kind of weird. And Palette does bring a good point. It's Blizzard to a degree, but it's not Blizzard to a degree. You know, it's their ruling, but there's a lot more at hand than just Blizzard actually making this call and making this decision.
Yeah, just too heavy-handed, man. Just, I mean, there's better ways I think they could have done it. Is there a perfect way to do it? Probably not. But at the same time, man, you think about it. I mean, you think about the history you have with Hong Kong and China and video games. Like, video games are huge in South Korea and in China and in Hong Kong. It's like, they are huge. And it's just like, I don't know, man. I'm seeing it more and more where political crap spills over into video games, and it kind of just irritates me. And
yeah,
well, you know. I mean, like I said, we're in a culture. We are now in a culture of opinions and a culture of, you know, of hyper opinions. So
yeah,
get ready, because I mean it's going to be more. It's going to be way more as time goes on, and you're not going to be able to escape it. But you know, hopefully after this all blows over, he's able to get back to what he likes doing and is able to, you know, I don't think he's gonna be hurting, because apparently he's like a pro, so I think he's gonna be fine.
I mean, he'll find a way to make money.
Right. There's already a different developer for a different game that actually offered to pay him everything that he basically lost because of all of this, plus like a $500,000 sign on or something.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, like there's another game that
so he's already gonna make almost all that money back.
Yeah, he'll make all that money back.
If he decides to go with them, he definitely will.
Okay. Well
yeah. Yeah. So kind of shifting gears real quick here. Cause that's just yuck. Yeah. I hate that.
We got our opinions out. We kind of just got it out there.
Yeah. Moving on. I just hate it, man. I hate it that it's happening.
Now on to the big D.
Hold on. I got one more thought here, and I'm a little concerned. And that's, let's talk about Mixer for a second here. So two of the co-founders are now gone. Matt Sosselmende, who we interviewed back in the day when it was still Beam, who actually kind of, I guess you could say, won us over to go check out Beam. And we've been at Mixer or Beam ever since. Tonight's podcast is actually streamed on Twitch, YouTube, and Mixer. So thank you guys if you're over on Twitch watching us as well.
And YouTube.
But Matt Sosselmende left after 5 years. He's a co-founder. I know he's probably not a decision maker there anymore, but it's giving me some concern, guys. And I want to get y'all's thoughts, and I'll just spill my guts first here.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I think the problem is with Mixer is that it's primarily seen as a Xbox streaming platform. It promotes a lot of people
when they think Mixer, they definitely see...
They think Xbox.
Xbox, yeah. Because it's Microsoft.
Yeah. There is a lot of promotion for VR modes. There's not a lot of variety on Mixer right now. Very, very few variety streamers on Mixer. And if you are a variety streamer, you're going to struggle for a while unless you're really established.
Yeah.
The next problem I think they have is it's just so easy to use Mixer on Xbox. Do you have a lot of native streamers streaming directly from their Xbox?
I mean,
they don't always translate into a viewer.
Yeah.
So exactly. You have a ton of streamers and you don't have a lot of eyeballs. And they need more eyeballs.
Yep.
And then I see the co-founder leaves. And I know it's probably due to contracts and all that other mumbo jumbo crap. But at the same time, public perception is reality, right? That's the way it is nowadays with brands and businesses. The way you see a business is kind of the reality of what it is, even if it's not true.
It becomes a reality, yeah. I see what you're saying.
And it gives me concern because I know a lot of people outside of Mixer, outside of the Mixer community, are going to be like, oh, man, is Mixer really failing? Oh, they brought over Ninja, and I guess that's not working. And really, I think the thing that we're kind of starting to see with Ninja now is that it really didn't help other than put the name out there a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, all it did was add another streamer. And, like, I checked the stats the other day when he was streaming Fortnite. There was, like, 14,000 people watching Fortnite. 13,000 of them were watching Ninja.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. I'm like, you have only 1,000 other viewers that are watching other Fortnite streamers. Like, the ratio of streamers to eyeballs, man, and it gives me concern when I start seeing people's contracts not being renewed, people who work in Mixer starting to leave. And then I know it's probably not tied to it, but like Matt Ibarra, who left Microsoft, who had his hand in dealing with Mixer. Yeah. He was a very big Mixer supporter. Tinfoil hat, guys. I got it on.
I mean, I think it's a plausible, you know, stance on it. I think because, I mean, you're able to sit there and look at the stats and see kind of that stuff. But here's where the rubber meets the road for me is that if Mixer is having that ratio issue, would it be the same if you were trying to be a variety streamer on Twitch? I mean, wouldn't you have the same type of struggles per se? Because it would still lend itself to being, you know, you're trying to find a footing, but you can't really get success until you find that and you're able to grow and grow and grow. And maybe it takes longer on Mixer. I mean, that may be the case. I mean, I'm not personally a streamer myself, but I know a few that are, and it took a while to get their footing. And now that they do, they're rolling, they're getting there. You know, they may have hit a few bumps along the way, but I think Mixer lends itself to being, in my experience, more of a positive place than a negative place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just me. I think Twitch is kind of just... I know this isn't a Mixer versus Twitch talk, but I can see where your concerns are. But if I had to say what's going, I'd have to say Mixer all the way for that.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong. Like, the founders, the original founders, like Matt, they sold Beam to Microsoft, right?
Yeah.
So they didn't. They did not own it anymore. Yeah. They continued working. So this could have been at the end of their contracts, and they could, for all we know, could have been in their deal that they were only going to be working for so long for them, and then at the end they'd get a payout or something. We don't know.
Yeah.
Until we actually hear more.
Yeah. I know it's probably contract stuff and stuff like that, but it just gives me concern because the public perception is that you have a co-founder that left. So you're giving in
to public perception.
But here's the thing. it's just the way – and it's a gut feeling, man. I got a gut feeling. I usually am pretty on point with my gut feelings.
It's just gas, but go ahead.
This is about Destiny.
When you see people leaving the company, when you see big streamers who came over from Twitch to Mixer and – you see them when they're at the end of their contract go right back to Twitch. And you see both the co-founders leave.
Well, I mean, do you say the same thing about like a, I mean, this may be completely different, but do you say the same thing about like a NFL pro football team? If their owner steps down, are they immediately a bad program? Are they immediately a bad situation?
The difference between that is in a pro football team, you can pay to get better again. And I don't know if Mixer is going to do that.
I mean, I think there's some small things that you could make ties there with. Yeah. I know it's completely different services, but if one person steps down from an organization, it doesn't mean the whole organization is going to blow up and just be bad.
Right, right. Right. I'm throwing a couple of stones together. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, but it's still a valid idea to have. It's a good perception to have because it's plausible. Like you take the Rams for an example. Like the Rams were a really, really bad program for a really, really long time. They finally got some pieces together. They brought in some better leadership after some people had to step down.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a stepping stone forward. So maybe things change. We don't know. It's a wait and see kind of thing. But I do understand where your perception is. And it's plausible. It's a very plausible fear.
And it just makes me wonder, like, what are they going to do? What steps are they going to take to help get more eyeballs on the platform? Because you know when the new Xbox comes out, there's going to be a lot more people that will stream from it as well. So you're going to have a lot more streamers. Here's what I'd like to see.
Okay.
I would like to see Microsoft and Mixer go out and say, hey, Fire Stick, let's get you on that platform. Hey, Apple TV, let's get an app on Apple TV. Hey, whatever other streaming device or service you have, like Amazon. I know it would never happen at Amazon.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen at Amazon.
Yeah, that would never happen long before that.
You throw it on there. That is going to instantly give you more eyeballs. Throw it on the Nintendo Switch. Throw it on the PS4 if you can somehow work that out with Sony. Like, the problem is you can only watch this app either on a desktop, the mobile app, or if you have an Xbox.
Yeah.
And so there's no way people – like, I can't sit in my couch in my living room and watch Mixer on my TV. I have to come and sit at my desk, and people don't always want to do that. They may want to, like, watch an entertaining stream – while they're in the comfort of their couch. You know, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I see your concern as well, and based upon a public perception. I mean, the coincidence and timing of, you know, both co-founders leaving in, an 8-day period, and then Mikey Barr leaving as well. Yeah, instantly like, oh, what's going on with Mixer? What's going on with Microsoft? But I just got a feeling with, you know, since they sold their company, it sounds like contracts are ending and they're gracefully leaving, and like they have like, hey, we can do whatever we want to now. We made a killing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, if I was Matt, I'd be like, I'm done. I'm just going to stream. And he did say that. He said he's just going to be a partner streamer and stream, you know.
Plus, he loves lasers and he's pursuing lasers, as he's always dreamed anyway. It started with lasers.
Lasers.
Where are my lasers at?
Lasers. Want sharks with freaking lasers, man. Freaking
laser beams.
Yeah. All right, so I think I've said my piece on that. Let's talk about the fun stuff. Destiny 2! Destiny!
Thinking about it.
Destiny.
I mean, push you over the hump.
Elaborate more, man. What's pushing you toward that hump of maybe picking up again?
The direction towards the hump is starting from, you know, I put down, I don't know, an hour and a half worth of videos recently catching up on the Destiny 2 Shadowkeep campaign. And hearing the commentators talk about how easy it is to level up with the armor, with all the mechanics that are in there, talking with my coworker who's also playing and super excited about it. And I'm like, this kind of sounds like back in the Destiny, you know, the early Destiny 2 days, or the Destiny 1 when it was good. Not so grindy yet fun. And the story has always been good, but it's a lot better now with their cinematics and, you know, your character actually talking.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if I finish Borderlands to a certain degree, I might just jump in and play. And, you know, all my homies are still playing it.
Oh, yeah.
Although, you know, Underdog kicked me from the clan, but still. And
I did not kick you yet. I did not kick you yet. I have thought
about
it. He's
even an admin.
I asked, but I didn't do it.
Oh, that way. There we go. Okay, good, good. Because I think I'm going to be probably giving my Titan shoulder charge some more love. I mean, I guess Bungie's got my attention. Mm-hmm. I haven't dipped my toes in the pool yet, but I'm like, oh, that pool looks pretty good. So you know,
finally got T Prime. Now we just got to get Ray back, which may never happen. But
yeah. It's still that's a tall order right there.
Yeah, right.
You know what? I actually think that Prime and the Rayman would enjoy it now, because if I'm enjoying the grind, I think they will. Because I'll just say it feels very natural. It's a natural grind.
If I never step in the Crucible, hey, that's totally good.
I mean, the thing is, you don't even have to. Mule over here raided day one.
I did.
Have you ever raided day one before?
Never.
Have you ever raided within the first month of a raid coming out?
Never. It's always been like Crucible.
None of us. He goes in with the completely random. Well, not random, but I mean, a slightly, good team.
Slightly random. I mean, they do.
I met him at EA Play, Sly Nation.
It's guys that he knew, but didn't like, it wasn't his clan. He went in on PC, of all things. Something he's not as quite familiar with, but I'm sure he was still using controller.
Oh, no doubt.
And a raid day one at launch. I mean, as soon as I heard that, I was like, Mule, he's growing up. His little kindergarten is growing up.
It looks so good on PC, bro. Like,
I haven't played Destiny on my X yet, so this will be a treat.
It'll look nice.
Oh, it looks good on the X, but PC, dude.
And even on Xbox, like, I feel like they've done something that just improves it every time. And they're just, there also feels like, I don't know if it's just something with the X and with my decent monitor that I've got, but I feel like even the frame rate's just a little tweaked or something. Like, I'm getting higher frame rate sometimes, even on console.
I mean, I'm locked at 70 with my monitor, but still, 70 and 1080, it looks fantastic. It's really hard not to just be like, I'm just gonna play on PC. I mean, because most of my friends are on Xbox. I'll still play on PC, but most of my friends are on Xbox, and so it's like, dude, when I played with Sly, I just kept like looking around. I was just like, man, this looks so good. It looks so good.
You know, you need to tell Sly. I don't know if you actually told him or not, but you need to tell him all about your raid shenanigans that you actually pull on us. Because he's fortunate. He is super fortunate to not have to deal with the fact that we're trying to start an encounter or try to figure out an encounter. And here we go. Johan Jenkins. Here we go. And we got to start the encounter. And it's just wipe.
I will say, there was one time I was very tempted to do that, but I did not. I did not. I got up, I got a little snack, I came back, and they were still talking. So I was like, okay, I'm ready.
I mean, at least your team wasn't over there inventing mechanics that didn't exist.
Oh, yeah. We straight up invented mechanics over there, man. We thought we had to build like a box. We thought we had to like get the, like the big harpy in the front, like get him inside the like little tether. Man, it was stupid.
I mean, we actually figured out some stuff that's actually happens later on with some raid secrets.
Did you have Gagne with you?
We did have Gagne.
But see, it wasn't even Gagne's ideas, though. It was our ideas.
It was ours. Like, it came from us. The two of us and Lupo were like, oh, look, we got to tether this. And then, like, if you actually get all six of you around the cube that tethers you, it will actually break off of the cube and connect back from, like, the sixth person to the first one. And you can move around with it as long as you don't break line of sight. And we did that within, like, the first maybe 10 minutes on accident. And we're like, oh, okay, here we go. We got this going. We'll just travel with it. And then we wiped. And like, okay, maybe that's not it. And then we went back. Come to find out, one of the, like, the exotic raid, or the exotic quest for the raid exotic, you actually need to do that in multiple spots.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, we figured out something without even actually knowing it.
We tried to tether across the map. Like, we tried to stretch as far as we could from one edge of the map.
Because we thought, like, the person on the end of the tether had to step into the thing to grab it from the harpy.
Harpy.
Whatever you want to call it, the cube, whatever. Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much I need to see.
That he spits up.
Yes. You should go back and watch that Vidoc that Lupo has, because it's pretty entertaining. Whenever we first, you know, we finally figure out that you got to open the freaking door with the thing, we all are laughing like, we are so stupid. We are
what
so stupid.
What I found was funny is, like, I had to step away for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I had to leave Sly and them. They got a replacement, thankfully. But when I came back late that afternoon and y'all were still streaming, and I saw the looks on all of, like, Lupo's face, he was just like, I was like, dude, they've been
we were enjoying it, but boy, we were tired.
Yeah.
And yeah. Then, like, as soon as we got it, like, it clicked. That first encounter, yeah. As soon as we got it done fast. And then the next, yep. I think it was the next night, dog, that we re-ran it for Orange? So, mm-hmm. You don't know. Orange had to leave, so we had to pick up, we picked up Hero, actually. Our good friend, yeah. Hero. And we got through the first encounter finally. And once we figured that out, like, figured out what was going on, how to get around, and just our main problem was just dying a lot. Because we just weren't seeing things, figuring it out, and dying.
Right.
Once we got it done maybe two or three runs after that. Next night, we go, like, Orange is like, hey, can we please rerun the first encounter just so I can get that drop? And we're like, okay, for you, buddy. And we did it in the first try. So, no problem.
What was y'all's loadouts? Because I will say I watched Professor Broman's stream, mm-hmm. and I saw his loadout, and I put it on and tried it. I'm like, holy crap, I need to play with this.
So what was he using before we go over what we were using?
Mountaintop Recluse Whisper. And it freaking is, like, perfect. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. See,
I would change one thing out of that. I would change Whisper with Izanagi's, and mm-hmm. I would put that in my primary. And then I would use, now this is retrospect, I would either use Wendigo, which I used, but then mm-hmm. I would have pulled out the machine gun from Gambit, Delirium 21%, because that one is actually really, really good, because it auto reloads your ammo whenever you pick up heavy, so you don't have to reload. So overflow
any ammo when you pick up any ammo, it auto reloads.
Wow. And it's really beneficial, super powerful, and like that's when and we're sitting in an age of non reloads, so
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So, yeah, my loadout for the majority of it was, in the first encounter, you've got to have Izanagi's. You have to have it if you're going to want to try and do the strat where you take out all the Cyclopses. Because a Hone Dead shot with that thing will take him out in one shot. Other than that, Recluse for sure. I hate that a PvP weapon is one of the best PvE weapons.
I'm so glad.
I guess I'm not playing Destiny now.
Now it's you easy don't to necessarily get. It's actually
you don't really need it. Yeah,
it's easy. It's way easier to get now because it is a comp weapon. Now you don't lose comp ranking when you lose a match. Now you don't gain any comp ranking when you lose, but you at least don't lose it.
Don't lose it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but it's weird that luckily there's some other weapons that you can get that are very similar to it, and you gotta use those relic perks.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say, so let's talk about like some of the things that we like the most about it with the release of Shadowkeep. And I gotta say, I don't do this very often. You don't really hear Mule singing the praises of Bungie from the rooftops. But the season pass, the battle pass type, almost Apex style, Fortnite style battle pass is probably the most brilliant thing they could ever put into this game, because it makes me want to keep playing, because I don't necessarily have to do certain activities to get rewards. I can still do whatever I want and get XP and grind for things in the battle pass. So if I want to be a sweaty Crucible dude, I can do that all freaking day and still get rewards.
Yep. Any XP rewarded goes straight to that.
And when I saw that at first, I was kind of like, I don't know about this. But when I started seeing the line of progression and all the stuff you get, I was like, okay, this is actually really freaking brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like, it keeps the hardcore grinder engaged because they can go do their flashpoints and other things like that. For someone that just wants to log in for a couple of hours and play Crucible mm-hmm. and still get rewarded, that's me.
Yep.
You know what's funny? Exactly. We actually brought that up in a podcast a long, long time ago, that what would it look like with Destiny with the Battle Pass type mm-hmm. scenario? And yeah. now we see it. And I think the conversation went along the lines of, we didn't think it would be successful because we didn't mm-hmm. know how it would be implemented. Mm. I think that was kind of how that conversation went. But I think they implemented it in the right way. And I think you're right. I think it's very rewarding. And then not only does it tie into that, but it also ties into the seasonal artifact, which I think is probably the best addition to the game. Because now mm-hmm. everyone has an opportunity to play with the game, quote unquote, broken. Because if you can get to those last tier of perks.
Oh, yeah.
You can do some things that you are not able to do without it. And everyone has an opportunity to get to that. So you don't have to say, well, I can't grind enough to get that. Just play the game. Mm-hmm. You play the game, mm-hmm. you can get it. And it's not a requirement. You don't have to go to Crucible to do it. So T-Prime, you could have it if you wanted it.
And I'm sorry, dog.
Yeah, Prime.
I wasn't listening because the Astros just beat the Rays and the ALDS go on the World Series.
Oh, sorry, guys. I'm watching baseball right now. Yeah.
So, but carry on.
Dog, I'm sorry to tell you, dog. No. You are out of the job for designated tractor cannon.
Well, because you now have the thing. It is no longer needed.
Boop.
Yeah. See, yeah. This is what I'm wanting that too, but I kind of think there's another one in there that arc abilities give you an overshield, and I think on now, the hunter, because I think there's a way that might work.
No. Sorry. I tested that one. It doesn't work like you think it does. It's only class abilities. So it's only when you dodge. And as soon as your dodge is ended, it's gone. It goes away.
Yeah. So it's only during the dodge.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So it's only the span of me bump from one spot to the next. That's dumb. Because if that's the case, then I don't need that one. I'll just get the other one then.
It is during the activation of your class ability. So your dodge. And like a rift for a warlock, it's only as you're casting the rift. Now, I like that, but I don't want that to be a thing that I have to spend a point in my artifact to work with it. And the fact that it only works for arc subclasses is a little, because the way I was thinking it worked was that it worked with all of your arc abilities and during the duration of those abilities. So I was like, okay, I think of a really cool OP overshielded buff build for the warlock, because you use the nothing manacles for the warlock, which gives you basically infinite arc buddies if you do it right. So I was thinking, I can have constant overshield. Doesn't work like that. It's only class abilities. Now, the one that is really nice that I'm messing with right now is the oppressive darkness, which basically turns any void grenade into a tractor cannon shot. Basically debuffs enemies. Dang. And so if you combine that with like the warlock's vortex grenade and the
consistent.
Yeah, the I'm forgetting the name of the gauntlets.
The
void ones.
Void ones. I can't remember it either off the top of my head.
Either way, it's a void grenade. It's a one that one of the perks on it is when you deal damage with your void grenades, it randomly gives you a portion of your grenade energy back. When you overcharge your grenade with the top tree void walker and use that and hit like a tankier guy, you have your grenade back guaranteed before the grenade actually runs out.
Dang.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So we'll have to test it because I haven't really been able to test it all that much. I went to the tribute hall, messed with it a little bit, but basically it just debuffs like a tractor cannon shot.
So we're talking a lot of high level stuff here, and a lot of the people that are coming back into Destiny, I know that they are probably like, thinking, what is a tractor cannon? What is this? What is that? So let me say this. So if you are thinking about coming back to Destiny, there are a few things that you probably need to understand, that the game has changed in the ebb and flow but it has not mm-hmm. changed in feel. So whenever you come back to the game, it's going to feel the same, but it plays differently. Well,
gun feels good. Yeah,
gun feels good. Feel good. Gun feel good.
And Prime, I'll sell it to you here for just a second, man. The barrier, the entry of like the barrier to entry in this game is so low right now that you go in, you're already 750. The progression is so natural. You don't really start slowing down on your light level until you hit about 900. Mm-hmm. And by that time, you've already run through almost all the story, or at least all the story. And so by the time you get to that, you don't really have to grind to get your light up unless you want to raid. Mm-hmm. So if you want to raid, then you can grind it to get it up there. And it's not a horrible grind. Like, no. I've been doing it like very slowly, and I'm already at 925, and I haven't even been like hardcore into it like other people have. So, yeah, I think, like,
so you're saying someone who's a, you know, pretty much a filthy casual. Well, I always say I have a chance.
Yes,
dude, and it'll get speak to you. So fast. It'll speak to you also on the level with the mods that you can put on weapons and armor. There's a new level of depth there mm-hmm. that it gives you a little bit of an RPG feel. Ooh. And I think you would enjoy that, especially being a Borderlands guy where you have so many different builds you can do. Mm-hmm. It's very much that way now with the weapons and armor. Like, you can do so many different builds.
And speaking on the mods, like, one of the best things they ever could have done with the mods is make them permanent unlocks.
So I heard that.
In the beginning of D2, you had mods, but you had to earn them, but then you also had to keep them. Like, so say you want to put counterbalance on multiple weapons, you had to have multiple counterbalance mods. Now, it just, as soon as you unlock counterbalance, you have it unlocked. And you can put it on at any time you want. It's a little bit of glimmer. Costs like 5,000 glimmer to switch out a mod. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that's nothing. That's like,
okay.
I don't know, like 5 cents if we want to equivalent it to like something in the game's money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glimmer broke, though, just by the way.
I don't know and how.
It's way
how
easier to upgrade weapons and armor. It's way, way easier.
Oh yeah, it costs one material now to infuse. Now, get those materials, it costs a little bit of multiple different things, but you can also earn them as well.
Yeah, you earn them way faster. It's a very natural progression now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll say
a bad... So we're kind of... Yeah, go ahead.
One bad thing that I don't like is the armor that you get is armor 2.0, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. The element affiliation.
No, you don't like the affinities.
I understand why it's there. I get it. I just don't like it because now I have to make sure that I keep a certain type of armor. Because like what I did earlier today, I deleted a solar gauntlet that I needed. That needed
and you
a
didn't
certain
know
set of
that
perks.
It needed it.
Well, I knew that it needed it because I saw it there on the things, but I'm sitting there deleting some low power stuff so because I don't need it anymore, right? So I deleted something that was that only could be applicable to raid gear. So I deleted a solar gauntlet that had a raid piece on it or a raid mod on it that now I can no longer use for that slot until I get another solar affinity, which is fine. Dang. It's out there. Like it's going to come back. I'm going to have it back.
And you can go
tonight.
Grind that out by just doing specific things.
Right. And and that's fine. It, like I said, it's a small little gripe because now I have to be aware of that because if I'm going to go do the raid, I have to make sure I keep that certain type of affinity or else I cannot be beneficial or at least more beneficial than what I could be.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And those raid mods, they're pretty cool. Some of them.
Oh, dude. Love it. They look good. So give me your early review thoughts. How would you grade it 1 to 10? Prime will exempt you since you haven't played it yet because we're starting to get to about that time on the cast.
I mean, if we're basing it off of Forsaken's launch, because I think that's the closest thing you can relate this to, because if you relate it to Destiny 2's initial launch, it's a 10 out of 10. But if you relate it to Forsaken, I think it's better than Forsaken as far as how things are implemented. So I'd probably give it a, I'd probably give it 8 or 9. I wouldn't say 10 out of 10 just because I don't like the affinity.
Yeah. What about you, Crow?
The only big, the only like major gripe that I have at all with this is that the campaign was a little short. Now, it's a smaller DLC, so it's not a Forsaken-sized DLC. So I understand. But what we did get in the story, I really love. And I want to know more. So that's my only gripe that I really have about it.
So
the fact that it's only just the length of the story, even though it's a really good story, I'm going to have to give it like
9.2.
Here's the great thing about that, though. I'll add this to it, and then you can give yours. Is that they came out and said this, that the story was short for a reason, because it's going to tell a grander narrative as we go. Exactly. So, like, season 11 is going to be something that is going to be super crazy. They already said, like, that's the season you want to be able to stick around.
And it's still progressing right now, the story, with the whole Vex Offensive, everything that's going on. Like,
that is so freaking fun, too. We didn't talk about it, but it's so freaking fun.
A lot of people noticed the other day that they're building something in the tower behind Ikora, and everyone's like, oh, what's it going to be? And I'm like, dude, it's the Vex Gate that she's talking about. It's we're going to build this Vex Gate over the time, and then we're going to go through it and kill the Undying Mind.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty funny that people didn't understand that. Like, dude, it's funny when you're like,
the blueprints are right there. Yeah,
it's a hologram of the gate right in front of it, and I'm not going to call the YouTuber out because I don't want to. Mesa Prime. He thought it was for like the Halloween event. I'm like, come on. Come on, dude. You're better than this. But
so,
speaking of story and all that, what initially got my attraction was seeing the pyramid ship.
The pyramids.
Like, yeah.
What?
What?
Dude, the story's creepy.
Spoiler alert, by the way. I know that's a little late for that now.
It's kind of the first mission.
That's really late.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Sorry, Robbie.
Sorry. But yeah, I saw that. I was like, I need to watch some videos. Holy crap, because this is foreshadowed and teased. What?
Oh, yeah.
D1?
Yeah.
D1 concept art.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
So, like, they're bringing it back. Everyone's been asking for it for years. Or what is this? Well, we may find out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right, Bill, what's your rating?
So, you know the whole story behind my feelings with Bungie and Destiny. So this rating is going to shock you guys.
If it's anything lower than a 6, I'm going to come out there and I'm going to punch you.
I'm giving it a 9.5.
Okay, good. Because I was about to say, if I had to come over there, I will drive down there tonight and I will throw punch you.
I think they literally had a near flawless launch. They had, what was it, like 2 hours where they had problems with sign-ins. But for that many people logging into the game on both Xbox and PC, PlayStation, wherever, in all the consoles, all that, to only have 2 hours of downtime and to have almost a near flawless launch, to have a story that enticed me enough to keep playing it and want to keep grinding it, to put Apex on the side, to put Anthem on the side, to put whatever else on the side, that says a lot coming from Mulehorn Jenkins right here. So, you know me and my shiny things. So 9.5, GG Bungie, well done.
Nice, very nice.
And it truly is Bungie now. This is a truly Bungie launched expansion, and I love it.
It is. Mm-hmm. So Prime, you got to jump in, bro.
Before I delete you.
before you get kicked by another admin.
I'll delete you for deleting me.
Not if I were
Ban Hammers.
Who's got the quicker trigger when you're not in Discord? Interesting.
Does he have that power over me? I feel a little concerned now.
Let's find out.
Oh my gosh. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. If you're watching us on Twitch, thanks for watching us as we stream there. We haven't streamed on Twitch in I don't know how long, man, but thanks for watching us if you're watching us on Twitch. But if you want to know more awesome streamers like us, check out theshedteam.gg and find out more about the community there that we're involved with. And if you would, guys, like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes. You can follow us all on Twitter. And remember, when in doubt, blow it up!